We're beginning the Great Commission Month. I'm so excited about it. I really am. Just some housekeeping items. I thought about a whole bunch of stuff after I made the announcements video, and I'm sure you didn't hear all the announcements anyways. So next Sabbath, in addition to potluck and in addition to a guest speaker, we have a third thing going on, Lord willing. We have a baptism. Skylar is getting baptized. I met with her, it seems like a month or two ago, and she decided she wanted to be baptized and make that commitment to the Lord. So that'll be happening next Sabbath. That'll be happening next Sabbath along with all the other activities that we have going on. So you really don't want to miss next Sabbath. Tell everybody. Tell those that aren't here that they need to be there next Sabbath. It is Great Commission Month. So as a part of the Great Commission Month, we have some fundraising that we're doing for a church in Rwanda. Now, some people said that they were confused about the wheelbarrow, however you pronounce it. And what that is it's a fund for a church in Rwanda. And Dennis, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the church had some building code violation things, and they were forced out of their church, and they are trying to get the money to fix their building so that they can actually have church again. And so we're trying to do our best to bless them with some money so that they can fix their building and have church. And that is a Church of God Seventh Day Church in Rwanda. There's another fund which isn't really necessarily part of our Great Commission program, but we did a good job raising funds. I wasn't here for the fundraiser for the youth, and they did a good job. They always do a fantastic job raising funds. I think it was $700-something that they raised. But Winter Retreat this year is more expensive. They raised the prices on Winter Retreat. And so we still have, still should have, you can correct me, Jeff, but a Conroe Student Ministry Fund that's in place. And if the Lord leads you to donate to the Conroe Student Ministry Funds, that'll be a blessing to all the youth that want to attend Winter Retreat this year, because it's $200 per student this year, more than it's been before. Something else that in 2 weeks from now, I am going to be starting up a marriage class. I haven't decided how long of a class is going to be yet. I just decided after talking with a couple that I'm going to go ahead and start a marriage class. And for anybody that wants to come, we're going to start it in 2 weeks. I'll get you some more information about it here after today. So that's a lot. I was watching Answers in Genesis. Really cool video. It ministered to me about a book that this guy came out with. He's doing he did a debate, and he wrote a book called Replacing Darwin. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't watch Answers in Genesis, or even if you do, check this one out. It's a little bit on the scientific side of things, so some of the jargon might go over your head, but it's really cool the direction that some of our Christian scientists are going with things. So if you have a chance in your free time, check out, it's called Replacing Darwin. Answers in Genesis is who put it out. Also, last thing, please, it is great, it is also, in addition to being Great Commission Month, it's also Pastor Appreciation Month, and I don't mean this for me, but I mean this for our pastors. Please pray for the pastors everywhere. We want to appreciate our pastors, and part of that is prayer. Prayer goes a long ways to helping our pastors out. So with that said, let's pray, and let's pray for our pastors this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and we're going to get into your word here, and I just pray that you use it to minister to us today, that it speaks to our hearts and challenges and transforms us, Lord. Father, we want to lift up our pastors especially, Lord, as they are preaching this morning, as they are ministering and helping the hurting this morning, Lord, just be with them and encourage them. Pour your spirit into them today, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A faithful witness. That is the theme of our Great Commission Month this year, a faithful witness. I believe it is such an appropriate, applicable theme for our church, because Not everybody is called to be an evangelist, but everybody is called to be a faithful witness. I was led to Jesus by a host of faithful witnesses. My mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister, my friends, my pastors, all of them taking, being a part of my life and ministering into my life, church members, Christian videos, all of these, music, all of these tools and all these people just being a part of what led me to make the decision to serve the Lord and continues to lead me to serve the Lord each and every day, each one adding something more into my life. I did know some real evangelists, genuine evangelists, people that just felt like that was their call to go out and preach the gospel and did so effectively. They had a gift. They had an awesome gift. And they did. They preached effectively. But most of those who ministered into my life were not them. Most were not those gifted evangelists. I want you to think back just for a moment. Who impacted you the most? Just think back. Who impacted you to make that decision to serve the Lord? Was it your dad? Was it your mom? Was it your sister? Was it your brother? Was it an aunt, an uncle? Was it a pastor? Was it a teacher? Were they Christian videos? Was it Billy Graham on the TV? Who impacted you to serve the Lord, and who continues to impact you to continue to serve the Lord? How did they do it? Was it preaching? Teaching? Perhaps? Perhaps countless conversations that you had with your friends about Jesus? All those conversations that you guys had together? Perhaps it was life examples, how your mom and your dad, they lived, how your grandparents lived. Perhaps it was life examples that led you to want to serve the Lord. Perhaps it was the example of faithfulness that they had. Perhaps it was your life situations that led you to want to serve the Lord. But how did they do it? Were they evangelists? Were all these people evangelists? Probably not. I venture to say most of these people ministering into your lives were not evangelists, or at least not gifted people that felt called by God just to be evangelists. What were they? They were faithful believers that loved you. Not all are gifted evangelists, but God has called us all to be faithful witnesses. I want to show you three strategies today for being a faithful witness. That's what we're talking about this morning, is being a faithful witness. Number one, we are to be faithful witnesses just like Jesus. We are to be faithful witnesses just like Jesus. Jesus is our great example. In the book of Revelations, John is giving his greetings. He's greeting you, and he's greeting from him, greetings from him, from God, from the angels, and then he says this, and from Jesus, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And the passage continues there, but I want you to catch Jesus' example here. Jesus was our example. He was the faithful witness. We are to be like Christ. We are followers of Christ. And Jesus was, he set that example. He was the faithful witness. He is, this passage actually says, who is the faithful witness. He's our example, the one we follow. Jesus led that example by his preaching. He preached that the kingdom of heaven is near. He preached the message, that gospel message that they needed to hear. He preached the good news. He did it by his example of love. He loved others. He showed love to those that nobody else was showing love to. He was a faithful witness by keeping the commandments, just like we are to keep the commandments. He too was faithful to the word of God, faithful to the laws of God. He was a faithful witness to us. He was faithful in putting God first. He was the one that says, seek first the kingdom of God. He preached it. He set the example. He was a faithful witness to us. Jesus displayed that love. He prayed for others. He healed others. He showed that love to them. He reached out. He would touch them. When nobody else would touch them, Jesus touched them and healed them and fed them and forgave them. Jesus was that example of a faithful witness to us. We are to be a witness. We are to follow His example and be a witness. And last week I preached about words and actions. We are to be a witness in our words and in our actions. I used to be embarrassed to talk about the Sabbath with my friends. This was when I was quite a bit younger. But I was embarrassed to talk about it because I didn't have a good handle on it at that time. I didn't have a good grasp on what I believed about it. And everybody else that I knew, all my friends at school, none of them kept the Sabbath except for me. And then later on, maybe a handful of friends that kept the Sabbath. But I was embarrassed to talk about it. I wouldn't invite them to church. I wouldn't invite them to come worship with me on Sabbath. I wouldn't talk about that. I went to church on the seventh day. And then when they would bring up, are you Seventh-day Adventist? You know, they'd ask, where do you go to church? And I'd say, Church of God, Seventh Day. And they would ask, well, is that Adventist? I'd get so embarrassed. I wouldn't know what, you know, I'd try to know what's not Adventist. But I would be so embarrassed about it. I was embarrassed about my belief. Even though I believed it, I couldn't tell them why I believed it. And so I was embarrassed. I didn't know how to talk to them about why I went to church on the Sabbath. And they all went to church on Sunday. After study, after conviction, after surrender to the Lord, I resolved to no longer be embarrassed of it. And that was as a younger person. We are to be His witnesses. I am a witness of Christ. I am a witness of His biblical truth, which either others neglect or reject. In particular, I am a witness of the Sabbath day. I understand it now. I have a faith in God's word, and I want to share it with others. I am a witness of His biblical truths, even those which others don't follow. Friends, you are a witness. Tell others about it. Show others about it. God is our source of love. Tell them about God being our source of love. Tell them about God being our source of morality. Without God, there is no morality. People want to point out the evils in the world, but without God, there is no morality. Tell them about Jesus being the answer to all the evils in the world, that He is the real answer. Not the author of the evil, but the answer to it. Tell them about that. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about this answer, this great answer to their problems in the world. Tell them about how God is a source of existence and life. That's something that's so settled in my heart. Just where life comes from. That is one thing I will not be moved on. Is it doesn't come from the mud. God is the source of all life. God is the source of our DNA information. I can't reject that one. Nobody can take that one from me. I know where that DNA information comes from. I know where life comes from. We are His witnesses. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about how God is a source of meaning and purpose. If you came from a fish, what meaning and purpose do you have other than to be a fish? God is our source of meaning. God is our source of purpose. What a great purpose that is that He's given us. We are to be not only witnesses, but faithful witnesses. Never hide it. Never give up on it. Be faithful in your witness of Jesus. Be faithful in your representation of His holy word. I'm not saying that you have to stand up on your desk and make your desk be your stump and start preaching the word while you're at work. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have to start shouting on the corner that Jesus is Lord. But what I am saying is that in every situation in your life, every single one, let the light of Jesus shine. Whether you're at work or at home, let the light of Jesus shine. If you're at school, let the light of Jesus shine. If you're having fun at the park, let the light of Jesus shine. Continue to be a faithful witness no matter where you are. Let that light shine. You don't have to get up on your desk and shout it at them, but let the light of Jesus shine through you that they can see it in every which way. Five ways to let your light shine. Number one, don't criticize others. Don't tear them down. Don't join in the gossip. If there's gossip going on in your office or at your school, don't join in it. Let your light shine by not doing those things. Don't make dirty jokes. Don't try to impress your friend by making dirty jokes. Don't think it's cool to be a part of the group by joining in on the dirty jokes. Let your light shine. Encourage others who are hurting. Let your light shine by being a light to them. Encourage them. Show them the love of God. Show them how God loves them. Lift them up and encourage them. Pray for them. Let your light shine by not working on the Sabbath day. It's a tough one for some people, but that is a great way to let your light shine. Why don't you work on the Sabbath day? Because I follow God's word. Be a faithful witness just like Jesus. Number two, let your spiritual fruit be seen as a part of your witness. Here's strategy number two. Your spiritual fruit is a great testimony of who you are in Christ. Let that spiritual fruit be seen. Jesus, in his sermon in Galilee, in Matthew chapter 7, in the sermon in Galilee, warns against false prophets, calls them wolves. These wolves in sheep clothing, warns against these guys, and he says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a corrupt tree bears evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. Fruit reveals our heart. You can just picture that tree, that illustration of the tree, and the fruit that comes off the tree, and what is good in the tree is seen and evident by what's coming out of the tree. The fruit reveals what's in our heart. You want to see what's in my heart? Well, see the fruit that's in my life. See how I act towards my family. See how I act towards my children. See how I behave when I'm stressed out. See how I behave when I'm really tired. When I'm running on a whole lot of lack of sleep. See how I act during that time. You can tell what's in you you can tell it by the fruit. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. We do mess up. Every one of us messes up. But you can tell what's in somebody's heart by the fruit that they bear. You can tell a lot you can tell a lot about a plant by the green that's showing on it. You can tell if it's got poison in the soil killing the plant off because it turns brown. It doesn't produce the green plant anymore. You can tell when it's getting good rain and good soil because even if you try to kill the weeds, they continue to grow. One of our brothers here in this church was mentioning that he sprayed some of these weeds not that long ago, and they still won't die because it just continues to rain and rain and rain, and they just continue to want to grow. You can tell that it's got good fruit and it's got good rain because of the green. You are constantly sending signals to others about what's in your heart. You may not even realize it might be a subconscious thing, but you are constantly relaying these signals. You are showing them your fruit. You might not even realize you're showing them your fruit, but they see what's in your heart. They see the character of what's in you. They know if you are a Christian by the fruit that's coming out of you. What we see in public is often window dressing. What we try to show others is often just window dressing. It's not what's really going on inside. That's not the fruit. Then what is it? If that's not the fruit, if how I'm trying to behave and what I'm the good image that I'm trying to show you is not the fruit, then what's the fruit? Well, Paul tells us both what it is, and he tells us what it isn't. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, he says, now the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these. And I'm reading out a modern English version. Up there on the screen is the New King James, so it's got some different wording there. But he says, which are these? Adultery, sexual immorality, King says fornication, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, New King James says contention, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. It's important that we have a revelation. As Christians, it's important that we have a revelation in our heart that we're not supposed to be like this. It's absolutely critical as believers and followers of Christ that we have that revelation. I am not supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to resemble these things. Why? Because some are okay with this kind of behavior as Christians. And people see that fruit. Are you really resembling Christ? If you are a follower of Christ, trying to be a faithful witness for Christ, and you're resembling these things, people see that. And there's a disconnect between what you are saying and what you are doing. Too many compromised Christians out there who they say they're a Christian and they say they follow Christ, but then they begin to compromise and they begin to resemble some of these things, and they think that it's okay because of the grace and mercy of God, because of the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. Paul would say, by no means. God forbid. We should not be like that. We shouldn't resemble that. Look again at the passage there. We shouldn't be acting like that. Adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry. How many of us have continued to make idols in our lives out of things? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. We should have that revelation. Friends, every one of us should have that revelation. This is not how we should behave. We should not be like that. That should not be a part of our spiritual DNA. As a result of walking in the Spirit, you will not bear bad fruit, but good fruit. Paul goes on in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, it says long-suffering, gentleness, it says kindness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. People watch these. They're watchful for our fruit. They see the fruit that's in our life. They see whether we are a faithful witness or not. And that spiritual fruit can be seen as a part of that faithful witness. Your fruit in your life and in your heart become your testimony. What they see in you becomes a part of your testimony. Christians are called to faithfulness. We're called to faithfulness in these areas. People need to see these. This should be a part of our spiritual DNA. This should be what's coming out of us as Christians, as believers. This is a part of who we are. If you have the Spirit of God in you, and I believe that you do, if you are a born-again believer and have the Spirit of God in you, then this is what God is doing in your heart. He is growing these things in you. This is what is coming out of the inside of you. Not the two verses before it, not all that wickedness, not all that compromise, but this. God spits out lukewarm. Decide today to reject compromise. Let's look at it again. Let's read that again. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I like the last one there, self-control. I was watching a video just yesterday about a man that was preaching about the fruit of the Spirit, and he was talking about the hippie movement back in the 60s, and he said, they got all of the first ones. They got everything right up until self-control. And then when it got to self-control, they skipped right over that one. He was talking about self-control is what helps to bind the rest of them together so you can be an effective Christian, so that that fruit is effective in your life. You can be a faithful Christian. People see this stuff. God spits out the lukewarm. Decide today to reject compromise. Make the decision right now. Say, I will not compromise. I will be a faithful witness to the Lord. Become a faithful witness for Jesus. Like Jesus, spiritual fruit. Number three. Be a faithful laborer together with God. This is the third strategy that I want to share with you about being a faithful witness, is that we are to be a faithful laborer together with the Lord. Christians were Christians in the book of 1 Corinthians, they were elevating their pastors. Their apostles, their pastors, their teachers, above others. They would start bragging, I'm of this guy, I'm of that guy. And they were elevating them. I am an awesome Christian because I came out of this pastor or this church. And it was creating division. It was creating friction and issues in the church because of it, because they weren't in harmony with each other. Who am I, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Who am I? Who is Apollos? Who are any of us? But we are co-workers with the Lord, he says. And then he goes on to say this in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who am I? I'm just one pastor. Who is Apollos? He's just another pastor. Who is pastor over there, he's just another pastor. We are all co-workers together with the Lord. It is the Lord that's doing the work. Watering and planting, incredible principles when it comes to being a faithful witness, that we are watering and planting. And the principle is true here for everyone. Even though Paul is talking about himself and talking about Apollos and their ministry, the principle here is true for all of us. It's true for everyone. We're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to be Paul, we're not all called to be Apollos, but let us be careful not to water this down, not to water this truth down. Because there are people who are called to be evangelists. The role of the anointed commissioned ministries is still valid for today, so I don't want to water that truth down. There are some who are called to be like Apollos, some who are called to be like Paul, some who are called to be pastors and teachers, and God has called them and set them apart for that service. But all, every one of you, have a part in serving Christ. Every one of you are called to be a faithful witness. Some plow the ground. Some of you are great at plowing the ground. Some of you sow the seed. Some of you water that seed. Some of you are great at pulling out weeds. Some of you are great at keeping the critters away. And some of you are fantastic harvesters. We're not all called to be evangelists, but we're all called to serve the Lord and be faithful witnesses, and each one of us has a role in that. Each one of us, God is called to do that, to water and to plant and to keep the critters away and to harvest. Regardless, God gives the increase. So Paul says there, we are co-workers with the Lord. God gives the increase. I have a rather faith approach to church growth. I have absolute faith that it is God who gives the increase. Oh, that doesn't keep me off the hook from doing the work, from preaching, from teaching, from sharing that truth with others, from loving those that need to be loved. That doesn't let me off the hook from doing that. I'm still a co-worker, but I have this absolute faith that God is the one that brings the growth, that He's the one that brings the increase. That's what I see in Scripture. The Lord added daily. That's what I see. We're to be friendly. We are to visit. We're to encourage each other, love each other, pray for each other. But it is God who gives the increase. Then Paul says it another way in verse 9. For we, Paul and Apollos, are laborers together with God. You are God's vineyard. You are God's building. I too will repeat myself. Paul repeats himself, and I will repeat myself. Some are set apart for God to be laborers. Some are called and commissioned, and I believe that's still valid for today. But you are all called to be laborers. Paul calls you the vineyard and the building, but you are a co-laborer. Just like Paul calls himself a fellow elder in the Bible. You are a co-laborer with me. You're a co-laborer with all the pastors that are out there. You're a co-laborer with each other, co-laboring with God. Look around you. See who is a visitor. See who does not attend church. Maybe you know somebody that hasn't attended church in years. Look around you and see those who have not committed their lives to the Lord, who haven't made that decision for Jesus Christ. Become their friend. Love them. Become a faithful witness to them. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you are befriending somebody that doesn't know the Lord, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Remember, it is God who is doing the work. We are working together with God. He is already at work. God is already at work in all of your lives. He's already at work in the lives of those around you. And I would encourage you in that. Just join the work that God is doing. Pray for them and join His work. Share His love with them. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, when they ask you questions. When they say, why does the Bible say this? I don't know, but let's look it up together. Let's study it together. Shine His light through you. Not all are evangelists. But God has called all of us to be faithful witnesses. A faithful witness just like Jesus. Jesus is our example. Let's follow what Jesus did. Become a part of the work that He is doing. Spiritual fruit is a part of that testimony. Be a faithful witness by having good fruit in your lives. Reject compromise. Reject being like the two verses before the one Paul talks about spiritual fruit. Make it a part of your witness to have good fruit. A faithful laborer together with the Lord. God is at work. Join the work that He is doing. Pray for those around you. See those that need to hear that truth. Make a decision today to be a witness. Make a decision today to be faithful. Make a decision today to be a faithful witness. Amen? Amen. Worship team.